Thank you, Bobby. Thank you, choir. Instrumentalists, it's been a sweet, sweet, sweet service today. And we're glad that you're part of it. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we started a new series a few weeks ago and dealt with David and Goliath. And that 17th chapter of 1 Samuel is where our focus will be this morning as we talk about victory in the valley. How to deal with the giants that come into our lives. And I hope that you'll find this relevant to you, and I'll find it relevant to me as well. Victory in the valleys of life. There was a young teenage boy named David listening to the talks of a man named Goliath in the Philistine camp right across the valley. David couldn't understand why it was nobody would stand up to Goliath. So he walked down to the creek and got in 5 smooth stones and went out to meet the giant. This is one of the most incredible stories in all of the scripture because it's true and it really illustrates some wonderful and great truths that we can learn to live by in Christ. The truth is, we all face different giants, those giants that seem so formidable and so hard to deal with, so hard to get the king of victory over. But David's life and David's story of that slingshot story when he slew the Goliath for the Lord, for the glory of the Lord, was the passage that reminds us that no matter what we face in life, we've got a God who's big enough to take care of the circumstance and the situation. And the Bible tells us how to have victory in the valleys of life. In 1 Samuel 17, verses 2 and 3. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. There was a valley between them. Slaying the giants in the valley of life. Lord, how can I deal with the giants that I face? And this morning we're dealing with the giant of discouragement. Have you ever been discouraged?
Hello.
We all have the giants. Fact, you may be wrestling with a giant right now. You may be going through a storm right now. Maybe your marriage, maybe your work, maybe your health. But life has a lot of challenges. This morning, for just a few moments, I want us to take a moment and listen to what the Spirit of God may have to say to our hearts about how to have victory in the valleys of life. There are a number of passages that are listed there in your study guide this morning. Let me just share them with you, if I may. To discourage means to deprive of courage, to deter, dishearten, or to hinder. Sometimes it's translated in the Bible as to faint or to grow weary. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, or to wrath in the King James, lest they be discouraged. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And then Luke 18, 1. Men are always to pray and not to faint. For just a moment, I want to think about facing the giant of discouragement in the valleys of life. If you've not faced him, get ready. He's coming not too far away. All of us have had times in our lives when we've been discouraged, and I've learned some of life's most valuable lessons in the valley of despair. I want to think together for a moment just about, first of all, the reality of discouragement. Some of God's greatest servants face discouragement. Paul said at one time, he was pressed beyond measure. He didn't know how he could face the storms of the future. He faced prison. He faced stoning. He faced imprisonment. And Paul said that we can do more than we ever thought we could through Christ who strengtheneth us. Paul realized there's a giant in the valley of life named despair, discouragement. And some of the greatest church servants Moses did. Moses went up to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. He came back down, and the people of God were worshiping a golden calf. And he must have said to the Lord, this is my sanctified imagination now, Lord, can you do anything with the people that are this being on backsliding? Moses was discouraged and didn't know how to face the people of God. And God brought them through, and God led them eventually into the promised land. And the reality of discouragement is all too real. David also experienced discouragement, especially later in life. And this morning, God's got a word for us about how to deal with discouragement, how to have victory over discouragement in the valleys of life. The reasons for discouragement are many. I want to think about just a few this morning. And the context is Nehemiah chapter 4. No need to turn there for just a moment, but just listen, if you will, to how the Spirit of God may speak to our hearts. It's 444 B.C., and God calls Nehemiah, a layman, to return to the city of Jerusalem and to lead the leadership, lead the restoration of the walls of Jerusalem that had all fallen down and were in disarray. And he began the project and surrounded himself with the craftsmen and the laborers that were to rebuild the wall. When they started their job, they were immediately faced with the hostility of Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. We don't know much about them except they just kept coming to the people of God saying, "You can't do this. It'll never work. You're making a fool of yourself. God's not in this." And imagine how Nehemiah felt. But Nehemiah knew that God had called him to lead the people to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And even though that he faced opposition and faced negativism, he wasn't going to be deterred. He really faced three or four things that I want to share with you this morning. First of all, he faced fatigue. Nehemiah faced fatigue. That's the loss of joy when there's not much fun anymore. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and people are only halfway through their project, a two-month project rebuilding the walls." The labor was intense, the work was intense, and Vince Lombardi, that great football coach of years ago, once said, "Fatigue makes cowards of us all." Somebody once said, so rightly, that those who burn the candle at both ends are not as bright as they think they are. You ever just gotten weary and just felt like you couldn't face the demands of life because of the storms you've been through? Fatigue. Then there's frustration, a sense of being overwhelmed. Hope is diminished. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10, Nehemiah said, "The people said, there's much rubbish, and we're not able to rebuild the walls." They felt like they were fighting a losing battle, and they couldn't see any progress, and hope was dwindling. I talk to people all the time. Sometimes their marriage seems like the hope is dwindling. Sometimes their job or their career, sometimes their health, or be any of a number of things. Lord, help me to be steadfast and not to be discouraged, because the devil knows if he can get you discouraged, he can hinder the work of God. Slaying the giant of discouragement in the valley. There's fatigue, and then there's frustration, the sense of being overwhelmed. Hope is diminished, and there's little hope, and there's much rubbish, and they were fighting a losing battle and could not see the progress. Hope was dwindling. I never know on Sunday morning when I stand up and try to preach what storms people have been through. I never know what valleys they've gone through. I never know what challenges they faced or where they are on their spiritual journey. But the truth is, God understands discouragement. God's got a remedy for it. And when fatigue does its work and frustration does its deepest work, we also have to deal with the futility or a sense of failure. A sense of what worthlessness. Why are we doing what we're doing? This marriage is not going to work. This career is not going to work. This journey in life is not going to be victorious at all. Truth is, God's an ever-present friend that helps in time of trouble. And I don't know what you're facing, what you're going through, but that valley of discouragement is a real valley that all of us either have faced or are in or shall soon face. But then there's also fear. People of Nehemiah's day said, "We can't do this. The enemies will be upon us. We face the enemy on every hand." Fear eclipses the power of God. Fear distorts our perspective and magnifies the problem and minimizes the solution. Grasshoppers become giants. And fear is contagious. If you don't believe it, let somebody scream out the words fire in a crowded theater and see what happens. Fear is contagious, and we don't need to let it dominate us and destroy our faith. But how do I respond, Lord, to discouragement? How do I keep on going? And there are seven things that I want to share with you this morning that I really believe would be worth our time to consider and when we face discouragement. If you've never been there, hang on to that little study guide. I know that the print's a little small this week. I had a lot of information to share with you. But I pray God will use this word to encourage you in the days to come and be a blessing to you. What do you do when you're facing discouragement? Number one, rest and refuel your spirit. Nehemiah said, "Hear, O Lord, the prayers of your people." In Psalm chapter 40, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry." David's crying to the Lord was not a last resort, but a first response. Simon Peter said, "We're to cast all of our care upon the Lord, for he cares for us." Rest and refuel your spirit. Every once in a while, we just need to back up, take a deep breath, and ask ourselves, what in the world is God doing in my life? What does he want to do? What is he trying to teach me? What is it about this circumstance that I can learn from and be victorious in? Rest and refuel your spirit. Secondly, we need to renew our vision. Nehemiah said, "So built we the wall in spite of discouragement, in spite of opposition, in spite of threats, in spite of danger." They continued the project and built the wall and finished it in 51 days. I just made this note here. We will always regret our emotional walkouts. Clear goals help prevent burnout and discouragement. I wonder how many marriages have ended prematurely because somebody just gave up too quickly. I wonder how many careers are short-lived because somebody just couldn't face the challenges that they were facing or confronting day by day. Rest and refuel your spirit when you're discouraged. Renew your vision. So be with them all. Clear goals help prevent burnout and discouragement. Number three, C, resist the enemy. I like this, Nehemiah chapter 4. "Nevertheless, we made our prayer to God and set a watch against them day and night." And I'm going to put a little note here in your study guide. Put on the whole armor of God. Resist the enemy. Don't let the devil have the upper hand. He's a liar. And oftentimes I've had to make this statement in my own heart, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And as I go through life, I'm amazed. The devil yet never gets tired of bombarding the people of God. He'll assail you, he'll assault you, he'll attack you in every single possible way. Being aware of that, you need to understand and be aware that we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. Nehemiah said, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God in spite of the criticism, in spite of the warnings, in spite of the threats, and set a watch against them day and night." In Ephesians, we're told to put on the whole armor of God that we might fight the good fight and be steadfast. Put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of freedom. Put on the whole armor of God that we might be victorious in the battle. And reestablish life's priority. Fight for your brethren. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters, your wives, your houses. Reestablish life's priority. So far, what the Spirit of God has said to our hearts is rest and refuel your spirit. Renew your vision. Resist the enemy. Reestablish life's priorities. Fight for your brethren. God's got a plan for your life. It's a plan filled with blessing and joy and victory and confidence and absolute assurance that God's in control of life. Don't let the enemy sabotage your life by bringing a dark cloud of discouragement hanging over your head. Paul said, when he talked about how he dealt with discouragement, he said, "This one thing I do." He talked about how you press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes on the sweet Lord Jesus. Let me give you seven just little quick thoughts, if I may, under establishing life's priorities. Begin your day with the Lord. I don't know what your devotional life is like, but there ought to be some time in your day, sometimes in the morning is a good time. When you begin your day, don't leave the leftovers of life to the Lord. Give him a part of your day uninterrupted, undisturbed. Begin your day with the Lord. You see, God knows what you're going to face today before you've ever gotten the day started. As I seek the Lord and seek to be renewed in my spirit, I discover that God will get me through and deliver me from discouragement. Make it, this is a good one. I like this. I try to do this every day. Make a list of the day's things to do. You got a to-do list? It's a long, long, long to-do list. Well, I find myself going to my study and making a to-do list and checking them off one by one. It just gives me a bit of encouragement to get a few things done and accomplished. Prioritize your list. Seldom you'll get everything done. Just list those things in order of priority. What's the most important? What must I get done? What's the most important? Discipline yourself to follow your list. If you don't have a list, you may not have any way of discovering how well you've done along your journey. And Tim, by the way, I like number 5, anticipate interruption. Years ago, somebody introduced me to a little booklet. I've not seen it since. It's a long time ago. And the title of the booklet was Who Moved the Cheese? There's a parable about a mouse in the house. The mouse knew where the master of the house kept the cheese and went to the cupboard every day. But one day, the cheese wasn't there. And the mouse was rattled because somebody moved the cheese. Anybody ever moved your cheese? They just didn't turn out the way you had hoped they would. We move, get back on schedule as soon as possible and enjoy the journey. These three thoughts I want to share with you this morning. Return to the work. Continue your journey. Nehemiah 4:15, we returned all of us to the wall. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, listen carefully. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Return to the work. God's got a work for us to do. It ought to take priority. It ought to have priority in our lives. Return to the work. Resolve to be an encourager. Nehemiah said he called everybody to his own work. He knew about it. We have Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, which says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works. Be an encourager. Let me give you just a word of advice. In all likelihood, you're going to run into one person or more than one person this week who's beat up, wounded, weary, discouraged at the end of their road. I got a phone call not too long ago from a friend of mine that I grew up with. Danny is his first name. He is one of the preacher boys in our church family at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Lacey Springs. He was one of my good buddies in life, and we lost contact for a few years, and he called me and just to kind of touch base again with old friendships. But he was so discouraged. He was so wounded. He was in despair. There's a dark cloud hanging over him. I spent most of the time trying to encourage him, remind him that the same gospel that he himself has preached is sufficient to get him through the storms of life and the tragedies and the storms that you face. And the last word I got from him was, things are looking a little bit better. I'm encouraged. Thank you for taking time to share with me a good word. Who knows what kind of encouragement we need. By the way, I can look out across this room and there are lots of encouragers here. And my life is encouraged every week when I see you and share with you and learn from you and hear from you. And you're a blessing. You help me to want to be an encourager myself even more. And then refuse to quit. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15, what do you do when you're discouraged? Don't give up. So build with the wall. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, let's not be weary in well-doing. The new season we shall reap if we faint not. I don't know if you have ever seen this clip, this video. I saw it several years ago. It's very moving. It's taken from 1992, the Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. Derek Redmond of Great Britain ran in the 200-meter race. And Derek tore his right hamstring, sending him sprawling to the track. He staggered his feet again and again, struggling toward the finish line. A large man in the stands jumped over the rail and jumped from the stands, and it was Derek's father, Jim Redden. Jim put his arms around his son, Derek, and said, son, you don't have to do this. Derek's response was, yes, Dad, I must. I've got to finish my race. The dad responded, all right, son, let's finish the race together, and they did. And they crossed the finish line, the father helping carry the son. There was no gold medal. There was no medal at all, but he finished his race. There were no dry eyes in the stands. Today, few people remember who won the ribbon. But few have forgotten the young man that got that wouldn't quit. Just before you quit, don't. Don't live life in regret, wondering what might have happened if you'd stuck by your stuff. And let me say this to you. God's got a plan for our lives. God's grace is sufficient for every circumstance and situation. God's grace is enough. And God's got a good plan for our lives. He wants us to love Him and follow Him and trust Him and serve Him, live for Him. So don't give up on your job. Don't give up on your degree. Certainly don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your walk with God. Be an example to somebody. Here's somebody who's stuck by the stuff. And I don't know what they'll say when the day comes and somebody says their last words over me. I don't know what the Lord has in store. I know He's got heaven, my heavenly home. But thank God for the assurance of heaven. But I hope that it can be said, no matter what Jackie K couldn't do, he finished his race well. He kept stuck by the stuff. He kept up the faith. Lord, help me to be faithful no matter what the cost. It would be true and finished my race well so that I might be an encouragement to others. Victory in the valleys of life. When you're discouraged, fix your eyes upon Jesus. Let's bow together, shall we?